Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg. I'm here with Fran Ginsberg and Melissa Gould. Tom was called away on pressing business. I think he just announced his presidency.
Got my vote. Campaigning,
campaigning tonight, but he'll be back next month. The topic tonight is, how do we know there is an afterlife? We'd love for you to join in if you have any thoughts about how you know there's an afterlife. And the number here is 1-888-627-6008. And before we get started, Fran, just catch us up. What's happening? What's coming up?
What's happening? Okay, first thing, everybody listening, get onto the events page on our website just to let everybody know what they might be missing that's coming up quickly in March. We have the Visionary Explorers Group, which is free, and the Afterlife Discussion Group in Sanibel, Florida, and that is free. You can have all your information on all these things that I'm going to mention are on the website. As of this morning, only 30 people have entered our annual Holiday of the Earth raffle. You do that math. 5 people will win 1-hour medium readings with our Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Amy Utzman, Renee Buck, Dave Campbell, Lynn LeClaire, or Bobby Allison. The drawing is next month on Earth Day, April 22nd. You really need to enter if you appreciate the odds of winning like this. Okay, our annual grief retreat has enjoyed an early round of reservations for our 50 spots. Spend a weekend in a beautiful and peaceful setting with like-minded people, all learning that our loved ones are still with us. The weekend is an all-inclusive and features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Joe Scheel, Janet Nohavik, and Joe Peretta. It also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. On April 15th, that may be tax deadline day for everybody in the U.S., but it is also the evening of Dessert and Discarnates in Oceanside, New York. Forever Family Foundation certified medium Suri Bernstein will travel from her home base in Massachusetts, as opposed to her real home base in Iceland, to conduct spirit communication for a group of only 12 guests. There are delectable desserts and beverages. They're part of the healing evening. We have only one spot left. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, great nonprofits, and WellZoo. Everything's explained on the website. But in each case, remember to name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. And lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Back to you, Bob.
So we're talking about how we know there's an afterlife, and I emphasize no, because we'll get into that discussion in a little bit. But often I hear people say, when you talk about the afterlife, and they'll say that believing in an afterlife is not a matter of proof, it's a matter of faith. Like, do you hear that? I mean, I hear that a lot. You know?
I don't know if I have.
Now, to me, I mean, I certainly understand that, you know, people... A lot of people have religious convictions, you know, and they're taught that there is an afterlife, so they believe it. I always felt that, you know, faith without evidence to back it up is somewhat empty. You know, I mean, you're kind of deluding yourself a little bit if you don't have anything to back it up.
Right.
You agree with that?
Absolutely.
A lot of people wouldn't. A lot of people, you know, I mean, I have had people say to me, hey, look, I'm a Christian, and I know that there's an afterlife, you know, because I'm a Christian. That's their answer. You know, so it goes back to, you know, because they're...
Well, they're not reflecting on their answer. They're just saying that because that's what they're supposed to say.
Right.
As a Christian, it's the same thing as all the other stuff that goes along with being a Christian. They're going to say it just because that's what it is.
Right, and it's other religions as well, you know, that believe in an afterlife. But I wonder if there's, whether they know it or not, whether there's this inner conflict because they don't... It goes back to they really mean that they hope. They hope that there's an afterlife. But what do they have to back it up? Well, some might say, well, you know, I had my prayers answered or things of that nature. But did you, Melissa, think in those terms? I mean, have you always known that there's an afterlife? Or have you become convinced from personal experiences or the research that we always talk about?
Well, first to back up a little bit, because
yeah.
I'm still stuck on what you said about Christians saying they believe in an afterlife, because I thought that wasn't so. I thought that Christians believed in what was in the Bible and everything, not everything, because I haven't read the Bible, but much of what's in the Bible refers to things that are clearly what we know as being the afterlife, but they don't attribute it to there being an actual afterlife. It's more a godly something going on, but to say spirits are abound and...
Well, a godly something going on, meaning that, you know, there are people that are strumming on harps on clouds, but there's also... hellfire and
right. I was just going to say that isn't the quote unquote afterlife, even though it's not termed afterlife, the concept of heaven and hell.
Oh,
so you're being judged.
Yeah,
you die, you go before some judgment council. You're being judged, and at that point, you're either get to sit on a cloud and strum your harp, or you get to burn in hell. Those are your two choices.
I don't think they'd call it an afterlife. I think they'd call it heaven or hell. But
really,
I do. I don't know. Let's have some Christians phone in. I really thought it was that.
See how far away we are removed from religion, all the different religions and all the different...
I think the bigger question is, you know, can we, you know, faith being aside, I mean, can we know that there's an afterlife without evidence, you know, without having a significant personal experience or without becoming familiar with all these things that we talk about, you know, which we can get into, the near-death experiences and the mediumship and the reincarnation evidence and EVP and all this other stuff, deathbed visions. So, you know, I guess to answer that, we have to define what knowing is. I mean, how would you define knowing there's an afterlife? Have you given any thought to that? Well, what constitutes knowing?
Before you wanted to define it, I was going to say yes.
Yeah.
Some people know. Can you define the word know and where that knowledge comes from?
Like without
not in the case of an afterlife. When you have that kind of a knowing, it's something that comes from within you. And, you know, we hear it over and over again in the stories and the emails and the phone calls that we get where people talk about somehow they knew all along that there was more to this world than just the physical world. They've known it. And they've known that it was positive and they've known that it was good and they don't know how they know it. They just know it.
Right.
They talk about it all the time. So
it's that memory of where they came from.
Very likely. I agree with Melissa. It has to do with who our souls essentially are in their entire travels throughout the universe.
Right. Well, it's almost as if that we all, at one time, we all knew, but that knowledge has been weaned from us as we become socialized and politicized and acclimated to the physical world, you know. So maybe those that know fare better. They've been less conditioned, you know, than the rest of us.
I think they do, because those are the people that understand that when you suffer the slings and arrows of life, you know, you still keep on going.
Right.
Because it's just part of life.
Let's go to the break. When we come back from the break, let's get into some of the specific ways in which people know, some of the evidence, personal experiences, whether that be after-death communications or some of these other things that we're talking about. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Learning to Dance in the Rain, a true story about life beyond death. When 21-year-old Maya dies in a tragic car crash, her parents begin to experience profound synchronicities, prophetic dreams, guidance from mediums, and the undeniable truth that death is not the end. Lori and Brian McDermott share their story, hoping to help others find strength and inspiration to face whatever storms life may bring. Learn more about this important book at www.learningtodanceintherain.net. That's www.learningtodanceintherain.net.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're talking about how we know there's an afterlife. So, just your opinion, if I were to ask you, if you took a poll and you asked people, the majority of people, how they came to know there's an afterlife, would you suspect that more people would answer what you were talking about before, that they just know, or people would say they know from personal experiences, or they say they know from, you know, reading and learning about the evidence?
Personal experiences.
Personal experiences.
I would think that as well. I think the personal experience might lead them then to do more reading about
it.
Right. I would have to agree. I mean, I think that the people that have that inner knowing are probably, you know, in the majority, you know, unfortunately. But I know that we also believe, as do many others, that you can come to know there's an afterlife just by remaining open to not only personal experiences, but the experiences that other people have had. You know, if you read all the near-death experience accounts, for instance, I mean, they're so compelling. I mean, how do you, when you really, truly get into it, it's hard to imagine that they're not visiting other realms. You know, talking about near-death experiences, you know, when people come back, what do they say? They say that it was more real than real, and that they know that, you know, that there's an afterlife. So, of course, they know they've been there, you know. So how could they not know at that point? They change their lives. They're so... You're totally convinced. Sometimes I think, so somebody, you know, does it work in reverse? Somebody in the spirit world, if another spirit said to them, how do you know that there's a physical world? Mm-hmm. Would say, well, I know because I've been there. You know, it works in reverse. It's the same.
I'm sure
spirit.
It does.
Yeah.
They can have that conversation over there, although it's telepathic because they don't need to chat.
Right. Well, I'm speaking metaphorically, you know.
There was an interesting story you're reminding me of. It was a colleague I had, and we never spoke about any of this sort of thing prior to the passing of her mom. And when she came back to work, she was still so clearly, you know, grieving, and her mom's heart had literally somehow broken into two, just like all of a sudden, sitting on the couch, watching television one afternoon. And prior to that, they'd never had any discussions about death or anything like that. But I guess I must have asked her, are you getting any signs from her? Which then prompted her to tell me, like with a, like grabbing my arm, like, well, you're not going to believe this. After her mom had died, and I think it was the day after the funeral, she got a postcard in the mail. It was addressed to the mom. I guess she was collecting mom's mail. And it was letting the mom know that the book at the library that she had been waiting to be available was now available, and the title of the book was Afterlife.
Oh, really?
And she didn't have any idea that her mother had any interest in anything like this.
Yeah, cool.
That was a sign.
Well, you know, when we're talking about personal experiences, we always have surveys up on the website. If you go to Forever Family Foundation
and you click on Afterlife Science, there is a link on that page that takes you to all of the surveys that we have going.
Yeah. So the one that you just posted this about a sense of presence, right?
The email just went out today.
So in less than a day, I think, you know, the question was, have you ever sensed the presence of a person who was deceased? We got 160 responses in a few hours, and we were just looking at it, and 83% of the responders said that, yes, they've sensed the presence of somebody who's deceased. And in another survey, we asked... have you ever experienced the communication from a person no longer in the physical? And 90.4%, you know, answered in the affirmative. So it's amazing every time you do these surveys because the percentage is so overwhelming, and yet a great many of these people don't talk about it to others. They'll answer a survey question, but they don't openly discuss.
And now you're making me think that when we send out the survey, we should send out that little video that we made that encourages people to talk about it.
Right.
Talk about, 'cause the more people talk about it, the more okay it is. Instead of, you know, when you start to, like if your friend had gone up to someone else to tell them the story about the the library notice arriving with the book Afterlife on it, mm-hmm. she would have told it to any of her other friends. She probably would have gotten that kooky look like, mm-hmm. yeah, okay, lady, well, if it makes you feel okay, that's terrific. But if everybody's talking about it now, it's okay.
Right.
And that's our problem. People aren't talking about it, except in our survey.
In our Afterlife discussion groups, right. because we had people sharing at the last Long Island meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was sharing some of the experiences with my mom, just to let her know the kinds of things we were talking about, she said, well, how do people react when they say that? I go, well, that's the beauty of these meetings. We're all there, like-minded people, and we can't wait to hear more. It's not like we're looking at her like people speaking are crazy. We're
right.
like, tell us more, and we're right on board with it.
So out of all the evidence that we always talk about, if I were to ask you, what do you think personally is the most convincing that there is an afterlife? Can you come up with an answer for that?
Well, I would say for myself, it
yeah.
was when I got that bit of EVP, because everything else for me, for the most part, were messages delivered to others from mediums, and I knew it was evidential information, but only very few occasions was I the sitter getting the information spoken directly to me. But getting a little snippet of EVP, and I still listen to it every day, it's like, how is this possible? And so what else can it be?
Right, and for those, I know most of our listeners are familiar with that, but for those who aren't, the EVP is electronic voice phenomena, and for some unexplained means, discarnates, those in spirit, are able to record their voice on a recording device. That could be a tape recorder left on or an answering machine and things like that.
Even if it's not on.
Right.
It happens. And
can manipulate that energy.
They can manipulate our electronics. They can manipulate our things. I know there was an experiment where they took blank film that I know everybody uses digital cameras now, but it's not that long ago that we put film in a camera and the film had to be developed after you took your pictures. And there was an experiment where they took a fresh roll of film that was still in its package and asked spirit to imprint on it, and they did it. So
yeah, but also you can explain that with the film, which they did by a thought transference.
Right.
Know, so from the living or the deceased, it could be either one.
It doesn't matter. It's still a phenomenal
transference. What kind of phenomena? That's crazy.
Right.
I know, and this is the kind of stuff that people hold on to as the memories that there is something bigger out there than just this
right.
world, and most likely it's an afterlife. That's where we're going with all of this stuff.
Yeah, and what you were talking about is imprinting an image is in the broader classification of instrumental transcommunication, where it's not only hearing sounds like EVP, but images that could be in the white noise on a TV screen or something similar, or scrying, out of water. But Melissa's talking about, and I perfectly understand it, that's what's most meaningful, because it's not third-party information that you got coming through a medium. You were able to hear the voice with your own physical senses.
Right.
So that to you, understandably, why wouldn't that be the strongest evidence? So
right.
I get
And that having been said, I think the next best experience is the concept of induced after-death communication, the work that Dr. Alan Botkin is doing, where people can have an experience of speaking to a deceased loved one without an intermediary. That's the glory of knowing that there's an afterlife. If I could talk to that person, if I could ask that person the questions that I'm beating myself up now that they're not here, in the physical world anymore. That's the greatest thing ever. And apparently he has such a fabulous success rate with people making those connections.
Yeah, it's facilitating, you know, the communication. So, well, you know, a lot of why it's so attractive to people is a lot of people try and they're not successful and they want desperately to communicate and they try everything and again. So, if there's a method that could facilitate that, that becomes very, very, very important. Where on the scale do you rank dream visits in terms of personal evidence?
I put it in the same place. I put it in the same place as the EVP and the induced after-death communication. It's a direct experience. And just like you mentioned, Bob, about the near-death experiencers saying it's more real than the physical world, those visits that come through the dream are the same way. They're more real than the physical world, and they stay with you and you remember them.
That's the crazy part, that they stay with you, because people could question that, but I still remember it as clearly as if I just dreamt it last night or this morning. It stays with you forever, I feel, which is interesting because so much we forget that actually happens in our physical life, but that dream visit does stay with us with so many of the details so clear. Or the general overall feeling that you had, that you got when you had that dream visit.
Well, I think that's the key with most personal experiences, that if they're significant, they do stay with you because it's something that maybe you weren't expecting and you were hoping for, and here it happened. So it becomes really significant. And by dream visits, we mean while in a dream state, having a deceased loved one appear to you in a vivid fashion, and sometimes the deceased loved one can hold a conversation. Sometimes they just appear and you see them. Sometimes you may not even see them, but you can smell them or sense their presence. And other times they can be tactile, where you can hug them. As if they were in front of you.
And there's one more thing
that
doesn't come up often but does come up, is that once you awake from that dream, sometimes there is evidence in the room that they actually did visit in the dream. So something, maybe in the dream they showed you a page in a book, and then the book on your night table is open to that page. So sometimes there's that correlation of visits that we've heard from, where it's the dream, but then they also manage to at the same time affect something physically in the physical world.
Right, and sometimes they can also provide information. They can come in a sense, in a warning or to sort of pave the way for an event, maybe that you can't change, but so you're better able to deal with it. And those are really significant. Remember, at our last afterlife discussion group, there was a woman that was so, she found it so incredible, that people could affect matter, by thought alone, like somebody in spirit or, somebody in the physical, could make things happen. And there are, thousands of reports of people that, they feel... they feel a physical hug while they're lying in bed, or they separate from the hugs from heaven, and they turn over and they see an indentation from where either their spouse used to sleep or from their pet, that used to sleep on the bed, and there's the, there's no other explanation for it. All of a sudden there's an indentation in the bed. So this concept of psychokinesis is not exclusively for the living. It's also, if we're still consciousness in these other realms, we're still mind, and we can affect matter no matter what realm we're in.
You're reminding me, Bob, many years ago, I had was working at a summer camp. I had a 3-year-old student, and the mom pulled me aside one day and told me that her daughter, who was carrying these little chains, like a chain necklace, she told me her grandparents gave these to her And my parents died years before she was born. But the little girl was carrying around these thing that her grandparents had given them to her. And I saw that young lady recently. Actually, they showed up at a talk about paranormal. It was a ghost hunter investigation at the library. And I asked about the necklaces, and the girl turned to her mom. She goes, "You never told me that." Because she didn't have the memory any longer.
Oh.
But when she was 3 years old, she was insistent that's where they had come from.
Wow. Wow. I think that seems to validate the concept that the little children are in a different zone where they are more connected at that time. Mm-hmm. And as they're drawn away from it, they forget about all that connection. But it may be re-stimulated at a later date. Who knows?
Well, Bob, I had to ask my mother, who, you know, you asked earlier, had I always believed in this, and I did because of the way I was brought up. So now the same person who brought me up is questioning all of this. And I sat with her today and just sort of brought up the topic of tonight's program. And just as I had hoped, she said, "Well, what do you believe?" And I told her, you know, that I did believe. And I said, "Well, what about you?" And she said, "No. No, I don't think I do." And I said, "Well, why don't you believe?" And she said, "Well, it just hasn't been proven to me." So I wasn't about to get into any kind of, "Well, wait a minute, Mom. You know, my whole life you've been telling me this stuff."
Right.
So as I said, I was going to let it go. But then she, on her own, without any prompting, started telling me a story about when she was maybe 13, 14 years old and being alone in her grandmother's house where they were living. And she was home alone with the dog, Skippy, and they were in the downstairs hallway, and all of a sudden this horrendous racket occurred, like somebody falling down the staircase, this enormous sound. And she said it was an enclosed staircase, and it was just horrific. And she and the dog raced outside and went to the other side of the street just to stand back out of harm's way and look back at the house, waiting to see somebody coming barreling out of the house. Nobody did. And I said, "Well, what do you think it was?" She said, "Well, I thought it was a spirit." "And you don't anymore?" "Well, you know how it is with time and you think about things." I said, "Well, but what else could it have been?" And the only thing she could come up with was a spirit. Right. Later, she had gone then with her family to a spiritualist church. And through a medium, a male came through and said, "I gave you quite a scare, didn't I?" But, that, you know, that might not be evidential. She just put the two together.
But doesn't it happen so often? You know, we have some sort of an experience like your mom had, and it's pretty significant, and you kind of sweep it under the rug because...
That's what it sounds like.
I think it's what you were saying before. As you get older, you start to get more and more embedded in the materialism of the world. And then you kind of... That gives you the instrument by which to rationalize that it couldn't possibly be. And then when faced with, "Well, then what is it?" "Oh, spirit."
Yeah. And the fact that she still talked about it with such clarity, how many years later?
Yeah.
80-some years later.
Right. Well, she wants more personal evidence, which is what we're talking about. If she had something significant, she'll become a believer.
No, well, we'll wait to hear that story. We do have a caller.
Okay.
We have Maria on line two. Maria, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
How are you, Maria?
Okay. I was wondering, are you answering psychic questions?
No, we're not psychics.
Well, but you can ask a psychic question.
But
we can't give you a reading, but we can answer. Question.
We have, you know, the mediums and messages show on the
every third Thursday of the month. Maria, what you really want to do is go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and you become a member, and this way you will get the weekly emails that will tell you which show is on and who the guest is going to be and whether or not it is a medium, a discussion group, or an author, scientist, or researcher being interviewed. And then we'll miss talking to you the next time, but at least you would have called into the correct show.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Have a great day, Maria.
All right, so we'll want to go to a break, and then We will talk about, get into mediumship, deathbed visions, and maybe reincarnation. So stay with us, and we will be back in 3 minutes.
Hello, my name is Lauren Halpern, and I'm a Reiki master. I enjoy bringing peace and inspiration to people. I conduct healing circles with inspiration, meditation, and Reiki at different community developments, religious institutions, and many other locations. People react so wonderfully to my events. For more information, please contact me, Reiki Touch by Lauren at 954-464-0087. That's 954-464-0087, or email me at laurenhalpern@gmail.com. LORYNHALPERIN@gmail.com.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Hello, my name is Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about how we know there's an afterlife. So how would you classify having a reading with a medium? Is that a personal experience?
Would you, a direct personal experience? The information was evidential, I had that one experience where I was given a reading when we were off at a retreat center, and I really felt like I was having a conversation with my deceased loved one, and I didn't even question it. My intention wasn't to question it. My intention was, I hope this gentleman comes through, because it'd be great to talk to him. And that's just what happened. And so I didn't have to go through any of the skepticism, because I just knew it. I just felt that he was right there in the room with me, and everything. And I would have to say everything that was spoken was something definitely true, if not evidential.
Right. Well, yeah, I think it technically it's through a third party, but I think it qualifies as a direct personal experience, because the medium is just acting as a channel, you know, so you are speaking directly, theoretically, to the deceased. If that information is accurate, and we know how some medium readings can change lives, we've seen it since we started the foundation constantly, every day. So.
Which is why we initiated the certification program.
Yeah.
Because we have also seen how devastating it is when you go to a medium that's underdeveloped or fraudulent, even.
So I think that most people would answer the question about, if we asked, what is the most, convincing, they'd probably say, an evidential, medium reading.
That's the most convincing?
I think that's what most people would say. Because a lot of people...
All right, time for another survey.
Because a lot of people, don't forget, haven't been fortunate to have what we would call a direct, a significant direct communication. They haven't had a dream visit. Maybe they haven't received or recognized any after-death communications, what we would call signs.
Mm-hmm.
Although maybe that's, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe the people would say after-death communications are the most prevalent thing. Well, they may, they'll term it signs, but that's what it is. And that ranges, as we know,
huge.
I mean, it's a huge, category, and people talk about that often, ranging from a sense of presence to movement of objects to manipulation of energy to EVP, to synchronicities to, finding things. So it's, what about an apparition? How much more convincing could that be if you see an apparition of somebody that you knew, that's deceased?
I would think that would be pretty 100% believable, that they would then be 100% believing in it.
Except if they come from a culture that has convinced them that that's impossible, and so therefore they're going nuts.
Or a culture that's taught them that you should fear something like that.
Like my friend, that story
right.
about her dad appearing. Yeah.
Right.
But
I think you have to repeat that because... I was going to have to go fishing for the archives.
Just in a nutshell, that a friend, in questioning my friends if they believed in this, and one gal spoke up and said, "Oh no, I don't believe in any of that." She goes, "In fact, after my father died, he appeared at the foot of my bed, and it scared me to death." And I said, "Don't ever do that again." And then she just kind of like, "No, I don't believe."
Yeah. Well, just so you where how people are different. A lot of people would plead and beg, for it to happen again.
And they do. I get calls all the time. What can I do to help make this happen?
People start to all of these things. People start to question. At first, it's so significant, and it rocks their world. And then afterwards, they start talking to friends and family, or clergy, or this and that, or medical doctors. And a lot of them will say, "Well, this is just the product of your imagination or your subconscious, and brought on by stress or grief, and it's not real and it can't be." And then they say, "Well, maybe I am crazy, right?" And that's what we.
Well, I think we also have to turn our attention to the shift that a lot of the organizations and research places that are doing the work similar to what we're doing have been opening up people's minds. And so now you have, over the years, hospice has become very common. There's more and more hospices turning up instead of people going to hospitals to die. And it's the hospice workers that are on the front line, and they see it over and over and over again. So they're all beginning to open up to it. They still are forbidden to talk about it in many hospice situations, but take those hospice workers aside, and then they could give you story after story after story.
Yeah, and there are, I know we're going to have a guest on in a few weeks who's a medical doctor and a director of a hospice, and he'll readily talks about all of the amazing reunions and connections that people have, you know, end of life, you know, with the deceased, and he's more than open to talk about
it. That's great.
So, you know, I think you're right. I mean, when more and more of these people, I mean, I call them brave now, you know, for their willingness to speak about these things, when they start to come forward, that's when you start to have a paradigm change. Also, listen, the near-death experiences, you think about it, technology keeps getting better and better and better, and we keep resuscitating more and more and more people, which means that just percentage-wise, more and more people are having near-death experiences. And all of these people, I shouldn't say all of these people, but the overwhelming majority of these people have, you know, positive experiences and glimpses of another realm. A lot of them are talking about it, but but as this population continues to grow, that's going to be very, very significant, because we're going to start to, people are going to have to listen, and we really will change worldview about that. Personally, I think the most significant thing out of all these things are the deathbed visions. As significant or more than the near-death experience, because it has more of a spiritual context to it. You know, you have this phenomenon where all of these people have these, regardless of their physical and mental condition, they have these periods of clarity where they see deceased loved ones, you know, usually close family members, their spouses, father, mother, you know, children, and they light up, and they have wonderful conversations, and it eases their transition. So, you know, it's not even a question, as Fran was mentioning. You know, I mean, in hospice, everybody knows this, and not only in hospice, but in other situations. So that, the only logical conclusion, if you believe, you know, all the accounts, is that the reason for it is that we all have help when it's our time to cross. And you know, that's a wonderful thing, you know. And if you're the problem is a lot of the people that are witnessing it, the family members who may not be open to it. They're very close-minded about these things. And so they agree with doctors that, mom or dad is just, you know, having, you know, hallucinations or dementia, and this is totally imagining, never even dreaming, you know, that what if they're right? What if they're right? They're losing it, you know, so I mean, on the one hand, you could say, well, who cares? Because, you know, when the time comes, we'll all recognize the help as it comes. But it would be wonderful if families can really understand this. And so they spread the word. They don't talk about it when that happens. You know, when that happens, and do you think they go and they tell their friends that mom was talking to dad on the other side? They don't say that. Yeah. They just keep it.
No, because then they went, oh, well, she's gone over the deep end. Right. And you're going over the deep end because you believe her.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that's your memory of it. Your memory is, oh, she's talking nonsense, or she's talking gibberish.
Right.
Well,
but
what was that gibberish, you know?
Think about these people who are getting ready to transition, and they have that luxury of knowing while they're still here, while they're still aware that they're still here, that there are people that are going to be there that are going to help them. I mean, what's the biggest thing you hear about? People are afraid of dying. I mean, it would be, that's the big fear. You're afraid of dying. But if you knew that it was going to be this glorious thing with all these people there to carry you away, the fear gets removed. And I think that that's part of those deathbed visions, is to remove that fear and ease that transition.
Right. Another phenomenon that is not necessarily indicative of an afterlife, but it has spiritual overtones, is this these occurrences where people have, just before they pass or a week or two before they pass, they have this moment, which could be a couple of hours or it could be a day or two, of this awakening, of this, some people call it sudden awareness, or lightning is a term for it. So you have people that are incapacitated, physically or mentally, and they've been like that maybe for quite a long time, and then all of a sudden they're clear and lucid as if nothing ever happened. They can talk to their loved ones, have meaningful conversations, talk about all these
things. With their loved ones in the living.
Yeah, with the loved ones in the living, yeah. So that's why I said it's not indicative of an afterlife. But then you think about it, and that seems like it's part of a bigger design. There's no medical reason. What's the medical reason why somebody who is in a disoriented or vegetative state, suddenly being normal? Everybody, it can't be a miracle for everybody that this happens to. You have to think in terms of the big picture, that the people are given an opportunity, one last opportunity in the physical, to tell their loved ones they love them, or communicate something that needs to be said, or prepare themselves.
Wouldn't it be even better if they were just getting that moment just to say, oh, Aunt Harriet was there, she's going to take care of me, so was Uncle Joe, and I just want to let you know that before I pass. Not only does that make the patient feel better, but it makes the people who are going to say goodbye, wow, she's going to be taken care of, and she knows it. And yeah, and I know Uncle Joe and Aunt Harriet are just the right people to be escorting her to the other side. Wouldn't that be terrific?
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, quite not as dramatic as the reincarnation cases, where we are able to, study them and, they investigate all these cases with people that have these past life memories, and go to their homes and interview the families they said that they were once part of, and look at medical records, and, that's really compelling. It's not like a direct personal experience, but it's part of the research that you can't ignore. Have you ever had the feeling that you lived before?
Well, I haven't, but I'm thinking about the act of reincarnating, then where does the afterlife really fit into that? Because you're in a life and now
it's
you're
a
in another
term,
life.
Right. It's not, yeah. It's just life.
Life after life, after life after life after life after life.
Right.
The loop.
Well, we've discussed it. I mean, personally, I don't know why we always use it, because it's a crappy term, afterlife. It's not afterlife. It's
the other life. Well, I like the other word better, hereafter. It's better
here.
Script, right.
Ah,
it's a better descriptive type word than afterlife. Is like,
here
doesn't work
after.
For me.
Yeah. Well,
have you, Bob, recalled a previous life?
No, I never have.
But he can't remember yesterday, so let's not go back that far.
He looks he might. Oh, is this going to be another show?
No, we have enough.
I think we don't have enough time for that.
Right.
Tune in to the next gathering, the first Thursday of April, and we'll hear what Bob was going to say. But meanwhile, we've got to ask our listeners to please join us now in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Joe Nadal, Karen Gould, Stanley Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Michael Tim, David Haith, Marianne Pierschka, Donna Mello, Matt Mello, Fred Feinstein, James Rafferty, Doreen Malloy, and Diane Archangel. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this.
to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it. Good night, everyone.